our relationship to God. Recently, I've been very interested in seeing what my relationship is with God and how I should think of God. And I think that I've talked to some of you about how you picture your relationship with God. So I'd like to talk to you about that. It's important to me, and I want to know how I feel about God, and I'd like to know how you feel about God. So Cindy would like to talk about our relationships with God and how we picture him. Let me say right off the first, God is not the man upstairs. That's not the right concept. Secondly, he's not our co-pilot, nor is he our pilot. There's a number of relationships that are pictured in the scriptures. I have several of them, but certainly not all of them. One way we could think about God is our creator of the universe, an awesome, awesome God. We can think about God as a mountain shrouded in dark clouds with lightning bolts flashing, and we approach that mountain in fear and trembling. Or we can picture God as a glowing, precious stone with a rainbow as a canopy. Or as the Lord seated on a throne high and lifted up, with his train filling the temple. And above him, the seraphim, each with six wings, with two they cover their faces, with two they cover their feet, and with two they are flying, and calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty." Or we can picture him and picture ourselves as little children sitting on the lap of God or sitting at God's feet. There's a poem entitled "The Children's Hour." Any of you remember that poem? I memorized it someplace along the line, but I've forgotten it. But it tells a story of the father coming home after work, and there's an hour set aside for him to play with the children and the children to play with him. And they climb all over him, and he tells them stories, and they talk to him. That's a kind of a neat relationship, and we can picture ourselves as children and God as our Father. We can picture ourselves as fluffy white sheep, and our Father God as the Good Shepherd leading us through green pastures. Or we can picture ourselves walking with God. One of the songs we sang this evening was, "I Walk with a King, Hallelujah." Remember Enoch in the Old Testament? He walked with God. It said that one day he walked so far with God that it was closer to go home with God than to return to his own home. And he was translated. So that's a good picture. There's other places in Scripture too that talk about walking with God. My eyes, I think, are going. Or we can think of meeting him in the Holy of Holies, in an awesome place that was forbidden except to the high priest. But the scriptures now tell us that we can enter the Holy of Holies boldly. We can picture ourselves as approaching the very presence of God in the Holy of Holies. But I think these examples are all good, and they're all worthy of consideration. But there are two relations, I think, that are very special. First of all, I think perhaps the most special is this relationship as He, our Father, and we, His children. The Lord's Supper gives a great impact to this. The Lord, our Father who art in heaven. That's a tremendous thought in the beginning of that prayer. In John, 1 John 3rd chapter, verse 1, it says, "How great is the love of the Father, has lavished on us that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are." That's probably the best relationship that we can think of. God, our Father, and we, His children. But let me tell you something interesting. There are more references in the Scripture that speak of God as our shepherd and we as His sheep than any other. There are over 60 references in the Scriptures that depict us as sheep and God as our shepherd. There's a number, of course, about our Father, but there is more about here being our good shepherd and His sheep. It's the most often used in the Scripture. Now, there are two major scriptures that talk about we as sheep and God as our shepherd, one in the Old Testament and one in the New Testament. So let's look first of all at this scripture in the Old Testament that gives us a beautiful picture of our relationship as sheep and God as our shepherd. It's a very familiar scripture, Psalms 23. "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." This is a beautiful, beautiful picture. And I read this scripture almost every funeral I have. I have read this scripture, 23rd Psalm, and about this relationship that we have with God. When I read it for funerals, I normally change the pronouns a little bit. "The Lord is our shepherd, we shall not want," to make people feel that God indeed is their shepherd, even as they pass through the valley, the shadow of death. So let's look just quickly at this beautiful scripture. It describes our relationship with God as a shepherd and meets a shepherd that meets our every need, both physical and spiritual. These green pastures are not only for food, quiet waters for us to drink, but they also describe a spiritual peace and tranquility that we can have with God. Beautiful scenes, the shepherd leading us, green pastures and so forth. A shepherd who leads us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. This is certainly spiritual. He leads us in right paths. He gives us guidance so that we'll not go astray. And there's a dozen scriptures in both the Old Testament and New Testament that describe us as sheep who have gone astray. But with a good shepherd, he keeps us on the right path that we do not go astray and become lost. He blesses us in a way that even our enemies see how much God loves us. He prepares a table before us, gives us abundant blessings that even our enemies can see and have to acknowledge that God loves us. So it's evidence for us, and it's evidence for our enemies. And he will always be our good shepherd. He will never forsake us. We will be with him eventually in heaven. He's leading us on that righteous path that leads to heaven. When Doris and I lived in Knoxville, she worked for the University of Tennessee, and I worked for Magnavox. She worked close to downtown, and I worked on the east side of Knoxville. But after work, we got off work about the same time, we would meet in a cemetery called Greenwood Cemetery. It was very interesting. A lot of unusual things there. You could be entertained just reading the inscriptions on some of the tombstones. But also in Greenwood Cemetery, there was one area up near the front. It's an open area. There were no graves in it. It was just a nice green mowed field. And in the center of this field, there were statues. A statue of Jesus, the Good Shepherd, with the staff in his hand, and behind him, five or six statues, these are life-size statues of sheep. And it was off the beaten path. It was 2 miles around it. We met there to walk, to get our exercises. But one evening I decided I want to go up closer to that setting of the shepherd and the sheep. And so I walked up there and I approached it from behind the sheep, and I stood in line behind the sheep and could see the shepherd. I could visualize him walking ahead and our following him. And it gave me a really wonderful feeling to know that I had a shepherd that loved me, was leading me, and caring for me in every way. It gave me a really, really good feeling, a feeling of security. When I went into service, I went into the Air Force when I was 17 years old, and I'd really never been away from home. And getting ready to leave, my mother tucked a little New Testament with Psalms in the bag of few things I had to take with me. I was in boot camp about 3 days, and it struck me, what in the world am I doing here? And I got out that little New Testament with Psalms, found the 23rd Psalms, and reading it changed my attitude. I didn't have to depend on my own strength to get me through the next 4 years. I had a shepherd who was going to lead me, guide me, watch out for me. And that helped me for the next 4 years to get through those 4 years. There's certainly been many other times when I felt I just needed to turn to that 23rd Psalm and read it again and renew that wonderful feeling of having a shepherd like Jesus. That's the Old Testament scripture that depicts God as our shepherd. Then now here is a New Testament scripture. It's in John chapter 10, and I'm going to start reading verse 11. From verse 1 down through verse 11, there are some other things about Jesus being our good shepherd. But here in the 11th verse, Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is hired, a hired hand, and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. I know the sheep, and the sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be the one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is this: I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord, and I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up. This command I received from my Father." Now, there's a lot of information here, as well as in those first 10 verses of this. Here are some of the things it tells us. It tells us that Jesus is our good shepherd. And as our good shepherd, he loves us. He cares for us. He's not doing it for hire, but he's doing it for love. Second thing, he is willing to give his life for us because he loves us with all of his heart. God's love sent him to die on the cross for us. This next thing it says is that he will never abandon us. He will never run away, never back off from the wolves that would attack and scatter the flock. He knows us personally. And I think this is a beautiful part of this good shepherd. He knows us perfectly. He knows us by name. And we know him by name, and we know him by voice. We hear his voice, and we recognize it, and we follow him. We won't follow strangers because we do not know their voice. But likewise, he knows our voice, and he knows us as individuals, and he knows us and calls us by name. He knows us personally, knows us by name, and calls us by name. We recognize his voice and follow him. We will not follow strangers because their voice is frightening and strange. And he wants us to be in his sheepfold because it is the only sheepfold. It's the only safe place for sheep. And it goes on to tell about there are other sheep that need to be in his sheepfold. here he's alluding to the Gentiles, but I think in a way he's referring to all those who are like lost sheep who have gone astray. They need to be in the one fold with the one shepherd. In this sheepfold, we'll go in and out, and we will find pasture. The shepherd will take us out, lead us in the green pastures by the still waters. We go in and out the sheepfold, but God goes with us. All right. Now, we know that he has already laid down his life for us. Here he's talking to his disciples that he's going to lay it down, but we know that he has already laid it down. He has come that we might have life, and this is in those first 10 verses. He came that we may have life and that we might have it to the fullest. This, like the 23rd Psalm, we should not be in want. He gives us life in abundance and to the fullness. This, too, is a beautiful picture of our good shepherd. Now, there's some additional scriptures in the New Testament. Let me read just a few of those. I've picked some that are of interest. The first one is in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. It, too, talks about Jesus as the good shepherd. It says, when they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By his wounds we have been healed, for you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Another beautiful picture, and you see how it relates these same thoughts as the other scriptures we read. There's another scripture I think is extremely interesting. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 2, this is an admonition to elders. Wally, this is addressed to you. It says, and he's talking to elders, be examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. So here we have a mini picture of the elders as shepherds of the flock and we as sheep, and their reward is going to be a golden crown that will not fade away. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20, there's a prayer for the flock, a prayer for the sheep. It goes, this is just a portion of it. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, let him equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us that is what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, in whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, in conclusion, it says in Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, when Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. So Jesus looks to us as sheep without a shepherd. And so he has come to be our shepherd, to give us those blessings, to give us that protection, and to die for us that we would not be lost or scattered. So Jesus wants to be our shepherd. And I think it's a beautiful relationship for us to imagine ourselves, to put ourselves in with the sheep and follow Jesus and enjoy the blessings and joy that he gives to us. We need to let Jesus be our shepherd. We need a shepherd. Now, a dozen more scriptures talk about sheep without a shepherd. There are millions of people around the world who do not know Jesus as their shepherd. They're not a part of his sheepfold. And certainly as Christians, whose shepherd is the good shepherd, we need to tell others of this great joy of being one of his sheep, that they might enjoy this fullness of life that he promises, the salvation that he's promised us, and to tell them how he has laid down his life for us. He's died in our place that our sins might be atoned and that we might live with him forever and ever. He indeed is a good shepherd. So make him the shepherd of your life and enjoy the wonderful experience that you know that God is our shepherd, that he's watching over us, and that he's keeping us. Shall we close with a word of prayer, and then we'll sing our hymn, okay?